columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
We'll hear from TV in a little bit about Drew Locke and Philip Lindsay. And somebody thinks Drew Locke could be the MVP of the league.
How about that? Well, that sounds like a good season for the Broncos.
It sure does. We'll get to all that in just a little bit. But to update you on some of the NFL news from today, the NFL's owners meeting today, Tyler. I'm shaking my head. Let's go through it. The 4th-and-15 rule that was proposed most recently by the Eagles, by the way, has been tabled for a later time. Owners said further discussion on the idea was needed. Okay. So they're passing on 4th-and-15. What do you think of that, just to start with?
I think it's a big mistake. You had an opportunity to make your game better. You had an opportunity to make your game safer, and you didn't do it. So, you know, I'm not entirely with you, D-Mac, that I think sports should be played as if it was invented yesterday. I like tradition. I like watching the same thing. I don't want to have to relearn the game. Like, part of the reason why I just never could get into the XFL is because the announcers had to educate me on what's going on the whole time. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. I want to watch the game that I know. However, this one is not going to radically change the game even remotely. Matter of fact, you're going to see the actual game. You're not going to see somebody kick a ball and with a hope and a prayer that it bounces in the right direction. No, you're going to actually see football played. And most importantly, D-Mac, is that we're in a day and age in which every single year the NFL allegedly, quote unquote, is trying to make this game safer for its players. Okay? Well, what is the most dangerous play in all of football?
Kickoffs.
Onside kick, and more in particular.
Yes.
Kickoffs are second, but onside kick is just ridiculous. Do you know how it operates for, like, if you are the kicking team, you have got probably, I can't remember how many players are allowed on the same side right
now.
Five. Okay. Well, you've got probably three or four of those guys that are, their only job is to sprint straight forward and just try to de-cleat somebody.
Looking for the ball.
They're not looking for the ball. They're not trying to get the ball. And then you've got one other guy that's trying to get it. And then when you're on the receiving team, you have one guy that is designated to receive it. One guy. Nobody else is trying to receive that ball. All they're trying to do is to try to prevent those other guys from killing them, right? So it's the most dangerous play in all of football. This would have been a great opportunity to make the game safer and actually watch the actual game that is being played.
Yeah, well, this was a way to improve safety and to make football more fun and exciting and better for the fans. And the owners are just, you realize there are rule changes every year, right? Like when I say, you know, the sport should be played as if it was invented yesterday, they change rules in the NFL every single year.
I know. I'm just referring to, like, extremes. I don't need to see, like, what the XFL was doing with punts and kickoffs and all that. That was so far extreme. I don't want that. I didn't like it. But, you know, when you're just messing with small little nuances of the game, no big deal. No big deal.
I think I just think kickoffs are stupid. I don't like them. They're boring. They take excitement away from the game. To me, and by the way, this idea didn't preclude you from doing an onside kick if you wanted to. It was just an option. Teams would have an option whether or not to go for it, or if they wanted to do an onside kick, Tyler, they could.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was about as I don't, you know, the only objection I would have to this is in my mind, it didn't go far enough. But I would ultimately vote for it, and I would hold out hope everybody would see how much more exciting it is. And then you could, you know, sort of make it a more permanent rule later. But see, the NFL owners were just like, they didn't want to give teams an option. I mean, it's an option. It's not even a requirement.
You know what's funny is that fundamentally, I 100% agree with you about kickoffs. 99% of the time, absolutely nothing happens. Kickers are getting so good nowadays that they intentionally land that ball on the 1 yard line or maybe 1 foot into the end zone. And so teams, they take the ball out and they never get anywhere. People remember Devin Hester and they think that we're gonna get all these returns for touchdowns. Fundamentally, I agree with you, but see, now I go back to the traditional part of me. Gosh, it would be weird to watch football without a kickoff.
Really?
I'd probably get over it in time. But, yeah, man, I mean, so what? You win the coin toss and the team just starts on the 25? Is that what you want?
Yeah, because that's what happens. In 99.9% of games, but they kick it through the end zone first. But, yes, that's exactly how every NFL game starts.
You're absolutely right. And then, that is how 99% of them begin. I just, traditionally, that's just what I know. It's just what I think of football
that moment,
as.
You mean that need that meaningless ball. Or you get stupid teams that field the ball in the end zone and decide, can I get to the 25? I've already got to the 25 if I take a knee, but I'm going to try to get to the 25 now. And I always shake my head at the heroic effort it takes to get to the 27-yard line.
I wonder what the stats say of teams that bring the ball out. My gut tells me that, probably 90% of the time it goes to the 23. You know, like 2 yards short of the 25.
I'm sure.
Or maybe you gain a single yard or something like that.
Kevin and Richie, maybe you can look it up. Like, of balls that are returned, I don't know how you find it, but a ball that could have been a touchback, meaning the ball was received in the end zone, what is the average return length of that? That is different than the balls at the 2 yard line. And that's where Brandon McManus is such a genius, as is a lot of other kickers. They can put that ball high up in the air, land it before the goal line, so you have to return it, and that's where guys could get killed. And trust me, teams should just be doing that every single time, and they're doing it more often because the kickers are better and better.
Yeah, most teams do.
But if the ball goes into the end zone, the other team is telling you, you can start at the 25. Who just wouldn't take that? And then you'd have to go through the analytics of what is the advantage of starting on, say, the 30-yard line or 35-yard line compared to the 25. I bet it's not that much. I bet it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But anyway, we stick with the boring kickoffs and the stupid onside kick, and we don't even want an option. And by the way, let me tell you what a good rule is. If you were to ask managers and coaches, what would you do? Would you, if you had to get possession of the ball, would you rather go for it on 4th and 15 from the 25, or would you rather do an onside kick? And just poll the coaches, and I bet you it would be over 90%. I bet you anything, it would be over 90% that would rather go for it on 4th and 15 than do an onside kick.
And it would be nice if we got a real explanation about why it didn't go through.
Yeah, I really don't know, because the owners are old and they think like old people, and that's an old person way to think.
These old rich dudes that are so successful and everything, they really are a bunch of dummies.
The old dudes didn't stop there, though. They didn't stop there, and there's something else they said no to. But there's a couple quirky things they said yes to. Details of that next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, so the NFL couldn't pull the trigger on the 4th and 15th thing at all. They tabled it for another time. Well, that's not all that they choked on. They also blew the Sky Judge thing. And for whatever reason, I wish we got some explanation with this stuff, but we don't. But for whatever reason, Tyler, the owners elected not to vote on a Sky Judge concept this year. So check out what they've done. They've gotten rid of the reviewing the pass interference thing. That's gone. And now there's no Sky Judge, meaning there's no other way to signal to the refs, hey, you really blew it. So you literally are back to the same exact situation that the Saints were facing a few years ago on the blatant pass interference.
Right.
Zero way of overturning that.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, D-Mac. I knew that there was not going to be a sky judge. NFL is a cloud of secrecy, and there was no chance on this green earth that they were going to allow America to watch the conversations between these referees. No chance they were going to allow that to happen. No way they would give that type of transparency. I never thought it was going to be an option, but I thought that they would at least find some sort of hybrid where, you know what, man? You have no safety net right now. So if you've got a game-changing penalty that was called the wrong way or a play that there should have been a penalty on it, and, you know, you win it, you get a touchdown on the final play of the game, whatever it might be, changes the game, there is no safety net right now for them to fix it. So what I thought they should have done is use the sky judge, like, concept – and just don't have the transparency of it. Would fans love the transparency? Of course they would. Was the sky judge a huge hit in the XFL? It would appear so. But I knew that wasn't going to happen. But you could still have the overlord. You could still have the lead referee that is up there that is calling the game dead and correcting mistakes without the transparency.
What episode of Vikings does Ragnar meet the overlord?
Oh, well, I mean, Ragnar pretty much is the overlord, so that's where you're going wrong.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He started as a young king that, only had his little small province going on there. Uh-huh. Out there in Viking land, it was there was no unified front. But over time, Ragnar becomes the overlord. Which is exactly what I think of myself as.
Here's what Tom Pelissero said. Problems with the sky judge. One, unintended consequence. What if the coach throws challenge flag as official in booth is telling the ref on field to change call? Who cares? Big deal. There aren't 17 qualified people. Stupid. Of course there are. Time frame to make a call.
There aren't 17 qualified people? What does that mean?
It's dumb. That's a dumb thing. Time frame to make a call is so condensed, sky judge may not see replay in time. Sky just says, time out, guys. I need to look at this. Yeah, that's it. Dumb. That's the protest against the sky judge.
Well,
these owners are morons, man. Holy cow.
Nobody wants the game slowed down any further, so I understand that to a degree. I don't want the game stopped every fifth or sixth play because the sky judge thought he saw something that was wrong. But of course you can find just common sense. There's always going to be middle ground on how to make this thing work. They missed an opportunity on this one as well.
I can't wait for this to happen to the Saints again. There are some things the owners did pass. They approved a bylaw that allowed teams to designate up to 3 players on injured reserve. So Drew Lock could absolutely be put on injured reserve again. So that would be fun for him. So now you get 3 guys that could return. Okay.
All right. I mean, of course
the owners approved that, Tyler, because it gives them better players that they can bring back.
Well, I'm down with that. I honestly am down with that. If you had 3 players, we wouldn't been stuck in a situation like we were last year where you're trying to determine, are you bringing back Drew Lock? Are you bringing back Tim Patrick? Are you bringing back – no, what was the other running back?
Oh, the most ridiculous one was the guy –
the Lions
our cornerback guy who didn't go on injured reserve. Oh, my God.
Oh, correct.
Bryce Callahan.
Yeah, correct.
You know, you just stick him now. Now you don't have to worry about that. You put him there and you figure things out.
See, the problem is you can't keep going too far, though, because if you go much further than 3 or 4, you're going to be in a situation – every team in the league already uses the IR as a way to cheat the system. So they could just stack a player on their team that they don't have to release them. So they just put them on the IR. Oh, I got a sprained thumb. He goes on the IR.
The owners love that. That's an easy one. 3? Why not put 10?
No, that's what I'm saying.
The owners passed a measure.
You don't listen very well.
It prevents manipulation of the game clock with multiple dead ball fouls. This is the Mike Vrabel Patriots-Titans thing.
I love this. This is so great to me, D-Mac. I just love the fact that the NFL changed a rule because of something that happened to Bill Belichick, not something he did. Now, I know that he's done that exact same thing in the past. I fully recognize it. But the reason that it's getting changed is because Mike Vrabel just punked him, and all of America watched it all go down, and we couldn't even believe what was going on in front of our own eyes.
Explain what happened.
Well, so I can't remember the exact specifics of where they were in the game, so you might want to help me out on this, but Vrabel got in a situation where he was trying to run off the clock, and it was fourth down. So he has somebody, they eat up the whole clock, the whole play clock, they take it down to the wire, and then they have somebody jump off sides. And then the next play, what did they do?
Well, they wind the clock with more than 5 minutes to go. The clock doesn't stop. The clock just keeps, okay, go. We'll start the clock again.
Well, he had multiple pre-snap penalties is what happened. I can't remember exactly the way it went down.
Yeah, you're basically right. And he kept getting offsides on purpose.
Correct.
They
kept getting backed up 5 yards, five yards. Oh, well.
The clock keeps going with a certain amount of time left.
Yeah.
And until you get under that time, if you get under that time, and I think it's 5 minutes, then the clock stops.
Right.
But if you're not under that time, I mean, you know, it's comical.
So, D-Mac, tell me, what did they change specifically?
You can't do that.
What is the rule? Because is it one penalty and the clock stops? Is it two penalties and the clock stops? There's a huge difference.
It just says.
If you take a delay game and then you have a penalty after that, you still could eat up a minute, you know?
I don't know. The rule is, I don't know what the specifics. I'm just reading past a measure, so whatever that is, preventing the manipulation of the game clock. I don't know the specifics. I guess I can look it up. But also, they voted to expand automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul in any successful or unsuccessful attempt. So that slows the game down inherently. The owners also improved a measure to expand defensive player protection to kick returners and punt returners. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. Yeah.
How can you be a defensive player if you're a kick returner and punt so you can't block these guys? Is that it?
Say it again.
Owners approved a measure that expands defenseless player protection to kick returners and punt returners.
Okay, so I don't know specifically what that means, but I really don't know what that means because it's so if you don't fair catch it, hey man, game on.
I guess. Well, now you can't blow them up. I guess that's it.
Oh, okay.
You can't just blow these dudes up.
Now you got to blow on them. You got to like try to use a gust of wind to knock them down or something.
Who knows? The headliners are the 4th and 15 in the Sky Judge thing, and with that in mind, Tyler, I will kill you with truth. Coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net, call 303-388-8766, or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
I'm just an old truth teller.
Time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth!
Yeah, the truth.
And the truth shall set you free!
Here on The Drive.
All right, Tyler, we're talking about a lot of dumb things with these owners and the rules and what they want and what they don't want. It's frustrating because the pace of the way the NFL evolves seems sometimes so slow. And so ridiculous, they don't operate on common sense. But that being said, I want to tell you the truth about something that does make common sense. And that is making the Denver Broncos the strongest team they can possibly be. And there is an opportunity to do so. And my man Zach Bye is onto it. It's the sign, Kyle Sloter. My man Zach's really leading this campaign. I get it. But Zach's right on this one. Our backup is some dude named Jeff Driscoll. To think that we can't bring Kyle Sloter in here and give him a look. Now we're getting to the point of ridiculousness. Okay, Cam Newton, maybe too much. All right, I get it. Jameis Winston, nah, we're not going in that direction. Case Keenum would have made sense, but no. We're talking about Team Slaughter. I mean, he's not a threat to Drew Locke. Nobody thinks he's going to beat him out. But seriously, you wouldn't want to see some sort of competition for Jeff Driscoll? So listen, I don't mean to go too deep in the whole backup quarterback thing, but I don't want this season to go down the tubes, Tyler, just because Drew Locke might have to miss 3 games with some sort of relatively minor injury. So yeah, the truth today is that you should bring back Kyle Slaughter. And that, my friend, is the truth. Tyler?
Hey, man, I'm good with it. I know I'm not comfortable with our quarterback room right now. I'm not comfortable with Jeff Driscoll being our only plan at backup QB. That doesn't work for me. I've watched the film. I've seen Jeff Driscoll. He's won one NFL game, and he runs the ball, and he kind of looks a little bit like Tim Tebow out there. He can throw the ball about 10 yards behind his wide receiver at times, but he's got good feet, and certainly you could design a system that you're trying to run the ball as much as you possibly can. I'm not good with it as our only option, though. So, look, I think the nobody's going to like me for this one. I get it. Slaughter, the kind of aura around Slaughter got a little bit bigger than it ever should have. But I'm all for bringing in competition for Jeff Driscoll, absolutely.
Yeah, and it should be. And you know what? Good for Kyle Slaughter for putting out there on social media that, you know, he's up for, you know, he challenged teams, you know, give me a real chance.
He looks like a little baby. He looks like a baby. Anybody that comes out and says at a public forum that anybody that gives me a real chance, in all caps, emphasizing the real part.
All right.
When you say that, you sound like a little baby. Absolutely. You've been on 4 teams. You've had 4 franchises. You have had opportunities, all right?
Yeah, but you know what? At least the guy's got some gumption.
Okay.
He's got a little confidence out there.
Okay.
What team is Trevor Siemian on these days?
Right.
Well, what's Trevor doing for himself?
Trevor's sitting at home right now.
Yeah. When's the insurance agency's softball league going to open up in July that he's going to star on? You know, I mean, hey, if you want a job, if you want to do something, I admire guys and ladies that want to aggressively go after it. I have respect for that.
Go after it. That's all good, man. Yeah, absolutely. Go after it. Say, put it out there in the world that anybody that takes a chance on me is going to make the best decision of your life. That's fantastic. Just don't put in the part, anybody that gives me a real chance where you're blaming all your previous employers. That's not a good look, man. It's just not a good look.
Sometimes the message clouds it, like our boy Blake Snell.
Brona.
It was the way he delivered the message.
Right.
But at the end of the day, aren't all the baseball players more or less taking the same stand as Blake Snell?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, listen, bring back Slaughter. Get him out here. Why not? Give me this. What is the downside? Seriously, what is the negative having Slaughter here?
Yeah, there's nothing to risk whatsoever. You're certainly not going to guarantee him anything. It's going to be a minimum deal. There's nothing to risk. We just flat out need more competition in the quarterback room. That's what I know. Jeff Driscoll is not an appropriate answer for our backup QB.
No. Do we really want to go through a preseason like we did last year where Kevin Hogan was getting all these reps? Only to what? Cut Kevin Hogan? What was that all about? Why did we do all of that? We were stunned watching training camp last year because it was apparent during training camp Kevin Hogan wasn't really living up to whatever he could live up to.
It wasn't going well, was it?
No. And usually the backup, usually they have those moments that you're like, oh my God, look at that guy. It was the exact opposite for Hogan. In fact, every time Hogan took a rep, all of us would sort of look at each other and just be like, you know, what is going on here? You know, just
even Glamyow noticed it.
I know. I had to throw a little thing at Glam. Yeah, it didn't hurt him. It just had a Glam had to be straightened out. Right
did you
there.
Throw a stapler? What'd you throw?
I did not throw a stapler. I threw a little piece of paper that was not going to be harmful to him. A little like, yeah, you need to go hide under
the bed. I mean, don't you know when you throw something at an animal, it's just going to make the animal get louder?
Not Glam, yo. He is a literal scaredy cat. He'll be under the bed until his till Mrs. McKee walks through the door.
That's right.
He knows where he stands right now in the pecking order of this house. Oh. Sorry about that.
Glam, yo's okay, everybody. Nobody be concerned.
Yeah, he's fine.
No animal abuse. Totally fine.
No animal abuse at all. Just man.
Just a little piece of paper. Was it a spit wad? Did you roll
bears
it up?
Be walking in the crib and everything.
Make it wet?
No, it's nothing.
No,
he's fine.
Did you use a straw to shoot it?
Nikki Javala, let's find out what's going on with her pet and these NFL rules, how they're going to go over. Nikki Javala joins us next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Man.
Three more details about the. By the way, Glendale's fine. This clock thing. You know, Belichick's the one that, you know, Belichick was winning 33-0. 33-0.
That's when he did it?
In week 7 against the Jets, when he, in a very petty way, used it. With about, I'll read it, and Nikki will join us here in a second. So Kevin, just let me know when she comes on. But, she's here. Hi, Nikki, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Nikki Javala, brought to you by Perry's Pizza. Nikki writes for The Athletic.
What's gone wrong today, Nikki?
Nothing has gone wrong yet, but there's still plenty of time left in the day. I might actually mow the lawn later, so wish me luck.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
I know. I'm feeling ambitious.
What kind of mower do you have?
I have an Echo. You know, it's one of those electric ones.
You have an electric lawnmower?
Yeah.
Perfect.
You know, Nikki, I'm just going to say
battery powered, but yeah,
we do have a new sponsor around here, Pro Green. Maybe you want to give them a call. I'm just saying.
Somebody hook me up.
All right, so it's bad. So you're not, you know, mowing over like a cord. You don't have like a long extension cord.
No,
it's cordless.
Okay. Yes.
I'm going over some of these. First of all, maybe I should just go to you first, and I can go over some of these details. Why don't you bring us up to date with two things? What the owner said yes to and what they said no to, and also the memo from Roger Goodell about protocols and NFL teams and how that impacts the Broncos.
Yeah, I'll start with the second one. So they're moving forward with kind of lifting some of the COVID-19 restrictions as more and more cities kind of reopen for business. So they did decide to extend the virtual off-season period another 2 weeks, but they did say that, you know, they expect within the next week that, or by next week, that coaches can begin to return to the facilities, they can open team stores. And the coaches thing is probably the biggest for the Broncos, but remember they have a 75-person limit across all, you know, for... Like, the Broncos have two facilities between their training facility and their stadium, so up to 75 people can be at both of those combined. And so the coaches, when they do return, they would factor into that total. So somebody would have to stay home if they were to go back in the building type deal. So that's a huge step for the Broncos and for the league as a whole as they kind of look ahead to when players might be able to return and in what capacity. They didn't provide any details of when that would be, though they indicated in that memo that it would be fairly soon. But they're kind of all just awaiting word on when that would happen. But, you know, maybe they are capable of having a mini camp in some capacity or having some on-field time before training camp starts. For the Broncos, training camp would be July 28th is the first day. They're progressing, which is promising. And then for rule changes, they turned down the 4th and 15 that everybody was excited about. It sounded like it made some progress, but... that was turned down. They did, which
did
I
that
think
surprise
is,
you at all? I sort of felt like there was pretty good momentum for it.
Yeah, but last year they said there was good momentum and it got shut down. But yeah, I thought it was an interesting rule. I think there was a lot of pushback from those who thought they were getting rid of the kickoff, which is not entirely true. But so that's been next. One of the ones they did approve, though, was an increase of 2 to 3 players. So previous years they would allow 2 players to return from IR after 8 weeks. Well, they increased that to 3 players, which is significant. Last year, remember, there was always that discussion of, all right, well, if Drew Locke comes back, you know, at 8 weeks instead of 10 weeks, you know, we may not be able to bring this person back because there are a number of players on IR. So that could be significant, especially late in the season if you know, they're playoff bound and they need extra help there.
That's a good question. If that rule was in effect last year, does Drew Locke go on IR?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I would still think yes.
Yeah, if anything, it makes it easier.
You know, it would make it
IR.
Easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can bring 3 back as opposed to 2.
The example would have been Bryce Callahan. That would have been a better
example. I guess maybe I asked the wrong way. If you knew you could put 3 guys on and you could bring them back, then yes, you would have put. Why put him on when you could put Bryce Callahan? Actually, the Bryce
Callahan.
Because
it would take up a roster spot if he stays on.
Right.
You know you can bring him back, so you clear up a roster spot to help other positions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
So, what else? What else got shot down?
What else got shot down? I have to go back through the full list. But, well, some of the ones that the whole review on PI, that's a thing of the past. That was a pretty botched experiment. So that's gone, but they're adding, you know, they're expanding protections for defensive players. They're adding ways to prevent teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls. What else? I think those are the main ones, right? Am I missing?
Yeah, I think so. So, all right. I'm just laughing a little bit because all these players are having these workouts on their own anyway. They're all working out together, or they're working out in groups. And I mean, I get it. They're trying to be careful in state laws and all that. But most businesses are opening one way or the other. I don't understand why you couldn't have the players come back sooner than later to do something at the facility. To a certain degree, I think it'd be safer. I think
it's more for they want to keep the playing field even. So in states like Virginia and Maryland, where they're not allowed to reopen, you know, you let the Broncos return to the facilities. The Redskins, they're not allowed to go back yet because of the local ordinances. I think that's the biggest reason for a lot of these. You know, Texas gyms are open. I hear. I mean, I think land. Some training facilities are open to a certain capacity, but
hey, so with the announcement that Texas made today that they're going to allow fans at professional sporting events. What do you think? Some.
Yeah.
Well. First off, you can detail what that means, but then secondly, do you think there'll be any trickle down from that elsewhere?
Possibly. I mean, I think that's. You know, I'm curious to see what the Premier League does. They're the ones I've been watching closely because they're probably going to be the first ones to start back up in mid-June, right?
Yep.
But Texas basically said we're going to allow some fans up to, I think it's a 25% capacity, which when, you know, you should be able to safely distance in a stadium the size of Empower Field. But that's still a heck of a lot of people. We're talking thousands of people in a stadium that can fill 76,000. So, yeah, it could have a trickle-down effect. It remains to be seen if the NFL will actually have all that. You know, it's kind of up to them if they want to, you know, do that. And it's just so hard to say at this point because you feel like things are moving so fast right now when everything was shut down. But, you know, are they willing to make that leap and kind of take that risk and let that many fans in? You know, a lot can change between now and September. The NFL has the luxury of time, you know, but I'm, you know, we'll see how many. I don't think the Premier League is having any fans, right?
Well, it's just kind of crazy to think, theoretically, today is May 28th, right? We're 2 months away from the Broncos opening training camp, theoretically.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, have you talked at all to anybody with the Broncos about, say they do have training camp, what does that look like?
They don't know yet. They don't know. They don't know. Like, I mean, that's some of the things I think they would have to negotiate with the players is, you know, they're allotted a certain number of padded practices, which have been reduced from last year because of the new CBA. Would they negotiate a new set of rules for players this year because of the limited offseason? Could they kind of restructure the practice rules so they have more on-field time but maybe less contact? You know, it's one of the things to consider. And will they be limited in how many players can be on the field at the same time? I mean, I would think, nobody said this, but, you know, joint practices, especially in the offseason when your rosters are 100 players, to me that seems unfathomable right now.
Fans, I guess, in attendance, right? That's ridiculous.
I would have, unless they limit the numbers of fans on the
hill.
Yeah, but I'm just not seeing it. If they're not going to allow in media, they better not let in fans. That's my selfish take on all this.
Oh, you don't think they would let media watch training camp?
Well, that'll be interesting to see if they
don't
limit media.
What do you mean how they do it? We would all, stand.
Yeah, but I guarantee you they're not going to let us in the locker room this year.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I mean, I would get that.
But we may not be allowed in training camp. That's a very real possibility. But, all this is up in the air.
I think they'll want the coverage, won't they?
Right, exactly.
I would hope so.
Yeah, they'll figure that part out. Yeah. There's nothing special about us. They'll just want the coverage of what they're doing. I mean, the NFL hasn't really stopped. I suppose, I guess they've stopped a little bit now, right, because they don't have
But everything they've done can be, I mean, everything up until this point can be done remotely, right? You know, they'll still have the TV deals. They'll still be broadcasting these games.
Hold on.
But
do you think there's a scenario where they would broadcast training camp?
NFL Network might be able to. No, don't put that idea out there. I need to be out there. I love my job.
All right.
Mortgage to pay.
Hey, on another quick note here, the Lance Armstrong docuseries that's going on. On the heels of the Jordan docuseries. As a journalist, what do you think about these documentaries about controversial or heroic athletes where the protagonist gets to have editorial control of the content of the documentary itself?
I mean, I love them as a fan. I mean, I thought The Last Dance was beautifully done. I think they got a lot of access, a lot of footage, and I thought it was really well done. But I always watch it, you know, in my mind, knowing that this is not the full story. There could be some things that are not quite right here. I find it not surprising necessarily, but the fact that they didn't interview his ex-wife or his current wife, that's a big deal to me.
Well, no chance he was going to allow that.
Oh, well, exactly. So there, you know, we're not getting the full picture. There had to be a reason, many reasons probably why he didn't want that. So with each one, it's you're not getting the full picture, but it is still entertaining. It's still great storytelling, and there still are some, you know, truths to a lot of it. But
this Lance Armstrong one's interesting because they're trying to paint him as sympathetic.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'm not buying that.
Not buying that on Lance Armstrong?
No. Okay. No.
All right, Nikki, we appreciate it. Thank you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Good stuff.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Nikki Giovala, brought to you by Perry's Pizza. All right, Tyler, your thoughts about some of the things Nikki had to say, especially what does start here with training camp? What does training camp look like, do you think?
I think it's a little bit more lengthy. You allow them to come back a little bit early. You don't necessarily give them more padded practices, but give them an extra 4 or 5 days, maybe even up to a week of kind of OTA type of practices without any pads. Maybe you could wear your helmets. But you got to have something to kind of make up for lost time here a little bit. I don't know if that's going to be possible just based off of the timing of the season. So that's going to be the real challenge. I mean, if logistically they can allow that, I believe that's what they should do. But if they just can't get the guys back in the building in time, I don't think they would delay the season in order to give them more prep time, right? No, of course they would not.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. How do you do a joint practice with the Bears?
Well,
all right. Maybe I'm making too much of this. If, depending on the testing, right? Because there's got to be some sort of testing.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you something. I mean, when you say how do you do a joint practice with the Bears, are you referring to COVID or are you referring to the lack of practice time that they've had?
COVID.
Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? That's what I would say. If you're practicing up against the Denver Broncos, what the heck is the difference of practicing up against the Chicago Bears?
More people.
you're about to be playing football, you know? You're about to be playing games. Like this is exactly right. What you're going to be
good
doing.
Good point.
Yeah.
So there's got to be, right, you're about to, right, what am I, actually, you know, seriously, what am I talking about? Is there, by the Bears practice, they'd already have like a preseason game in, theoretically.
Right. You know, I do think it'll be interesting to see if teams go ahead and cancel those, not because of COVID, but because they just haven't had the time to install. You know, and I know that I personally, if I was coaching a team right now, I would value my time. I need my time to install. I need my time to go over plays as many times as I want. And I don't want to have to cater to anybody else other than my team. I haven't seen these guys in months and months and months. I'm trying to get ready for a football season. I need my time.
All right, it's 5 o'clock.
KKFN, HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Wow.
Boom.
Boom. Lots of stuff going on in terms of the baseball players and their reaction to the proposed, pay cut. Not good. Not good, Tyler, at all. And Max Scherzer is the lead dog in saying why this is a bunch of crap. After discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with MLB. No reason to engage, Tyler, with MLB.
Got to give them the silent treatment.
And any further compensation reductions, we have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy were to completely change if all documentation were to become public information. Show us your books, is what he's saying.
Right.
So Blake Snell basically nailed it. Basically, Blake Snell got it completely right.
Yeah, he sure did. He just was not very smart in his delivery. A very, very poor execution of it. But, yeah, I mean, players have got his back. Nolan Arenado immediately the next day defended him. No shocker here that the players feel this way. I think that this thing is just – it's a very confusing, sensitive subject that is – look, these are very challenging waters to navigate on all sides. And, you know, it's very easy to look at it and say, players, man – half a loaf is better than no loaf, right? And so, you know what, you're getting paid a lot of money. You're very handsomely paid, and so I fully understand why there's Americans out there right now that are mad at the players, or maybe there's a huge contingency that's mad at the owners. But when you really think about the way this thing has changed, when you talk about prorating a salary, that's much easier for the players to agree upon, because you're saying, okay, you know what? We're only playing half the games. Logically, that would mean that we're only going to get paid half of our salaries. I get that, and I would think that that would be a very simple solution to this, but that's not what they're doing now. They're not prorating it. They're discounting it, and they're asking the superstars like Nolan Arenado, who are making $40 million, to take an 80% discount on what their salary is going to be. So Nolan Arenado would make about $7 million. All right, well, the lower paid players would make about 80% of their salary, so they would only take a 20% discount. And this is just going to be very challenging, man. You're asking your superstars, the guys that people turn on their TV for,
yeah.
Nope, not going to happen.
It's not. It's. I mean, that's what Scherzer's saying. It's not going to happen. In fact, we're not even considering it. It's as if it never happened in the first place. And so they're
You know why this is all happening, though, D-Mac, right? I mean, this is all happening because there are owners out there that do not want to play the season. There are owners out there that are going to lose money this year. They recognize that, and so they're doing everything in their power to prevent losing money.
Well, I think that's a shame if that's the case. And I understand what you're saying. You're losing money anyways. Why? This goes to, like, the... like Major League, the movie.
Yeah.
Like, let's lose as many games too, so we can do something else. I mean, this is the. Oh my gosh! Sorry, I'm getting a. I apologize for being interrupted here. Oh, Kyle Sloter is engaging with people on Twitter.
Oh, really? How's it going? Is he getting even more defensive?
I apologize. I got an interruption.
You have piqued my curiosity. I would love to hear about it.
Okay. This is we'll put a pause on the baseball talk. Okay. So Kyle Sloter tweeted out 3 hours ago, whichever team gives me a chance, and I mean a real chance,
will be making
one of the best decisions they've ever made. Bet on it. And then under that, we get FFL Queen Roxanne at DMAC 104.3. I can hear the Team Sloter song in my head right now. Jared Geisler, my thoughts exactly. He's right. Whoever gets him gets a winner. Tom Gardner, who has a Vikings emoji sort of picture. Yeah, if you need a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, he's your guy. Shots fired from Tom Gardner.
Mm.
Queen Roxanne, I bet he could do it in a regular season game, too. Just my opinion. Henry 12, I read the reason. What's that? Oh, okay. Hang on a second, James. Henry the 12th, I read the reason the Vikings cut him was because he could not line people up right at the line of scrimmage after 2 years.
Ooh, is this the one he responds to?
Kyle Sloter, and I knew
that was going to be the one.
And when I like something, I'm just like, it's not that I agree with it, it's just that I'm seeing.
No, see, that's where you're wrong, D-Mac.
Oh, I like it.
Nobody on Twitter will ever agree with you on that one.
All right, I unliked it then, okay? But here's where Kyle Sloter chimes in. So this guy, Henry 12, goes, I read the Vikings cut him because he could not line people up right at the line of scrimmage after 2 years. Kyle Sloter, you read wrong. Or you read wrong, probably not read.
You read wrong.
Sorry, you read wrong.
Wow.
There you go.
So why don't you ask him?
What's that?
D-Mac, why don't you just put on that thread? So if you read wrong, then why did you get cut?
Okay, yeah, I'll write that right now. Well, how should I put it? Because Kyle's obviously engaging in this conversation right now.
You could say, very curious, why were you cut without a fair shot? Or how did that unfold?
Very curious. Okay. Why were you...
How were you not given a fair shot? Well, however you want to phrase it.
No, dude, tell me what you want me to say here. I'm dictating. Very curious.
Very
from
curious.
From me and Tyler...
From me and Tyler.
And yes.
What really went down? Just put it like that. What really went down?
What really went down? Happy to talk to you about it.
Yes, yes. We are live right now.
Live right now. All right, let's see.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Reply. Hi, James Marilat. How are you, pal?
I'm good. How are you, fellas?
We're engaging with Kyle Sloter. It never stops.
Kyle Sloter is that quarterback who fans fell in love with, and it just won't go away, will it? I mean, it's been years, and people are still talking about that.
All right, James, I think I got a hunch on where you're going to lie on this one, and I think we're going to be aligned for once. What's really going on there? I mean, it was Kyle Sloter as good as everybody makes him out to be?
No, no. He was like Bradley Van Pelt, excelling in garbage time of preseason games in the fourth quarter against a bunch of guys that, you know, no disrespect, but they weren't going to make the team. And
James, did you just do it again?
No,
you gave a very specific name example. Did you just do it again?
He just did it again.
It was a rough week last week, James, you know?
He just Devontae Booker and Kyle Murray.
My Devontae Booker analogy was a little off. Wasn't my best. The Bradley Van Pelt analogy for Kyle Sloter, spot on. They're exactly the same guy to go out and shine during garbage time. And everybody
shine during garbage time. What other time is he supposed to shine in?
I get it.
If he doesn't get put out there. If that's the only opportunity he has.
To some extent, I agree with you of, hey, when you shine in garbage time, that should mean you earn some time in non-garbage time in the next game to let's see if you can really do it. Fine, that's fair. But all we've ever seen out of Bradley Van Pelt and Kyle Sloter was shining in garbage time. And I took a lot of heat when he got cut for tweeting that Kyle Sloter will never throw a pass in a real NFL game. And so far, what are we, 3 years later?
Yeah.
I'm still on the money with that prediction. So far, so good.
He was a backup for the Vikings in 2017. He was there. He was the backup. All Case Keesum had to do was get injured, and it would have been Slotermania.
He did have four teams to make an impression on. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
All right, but he's how do you view him fighting, trying to get some attention right now? And hold on a second. Seriously, though, is Jeff Driskel better than Kyle Sloter?
That's a fair question.
It's a very fair question, and I guess my answer would be I don't know, and probably not, but that's not necessarily a compliment toward Kyle Sloter. That might be a knock on Jeff Driskel. I mean, I think they're kind of the same guy. Yeah, you know what? Do you want to entrust multiple games to either one of them? Absolutely not. Do you even want to entrust a second half of a game if your quarterback gets dinged a little bit in the first half? Probably not. I think they're kind of the same guy. So if the question is, hey, is Kyle Sloter a better option to back up Drew Lock than Jeff Driskel? Flip a coin. I think you're splitting hairs there.
Do you have anybody out there that should be the Broncos' backup QB right now?
No, I think it's perfect how it is, because I think if they gave Vic Fangio,
you like it? Hold on, now you're confusing.
If they gave Vic Fangio a veteran guy, when this team is 5-4 and Drew Lock has one bad game. And Vic Fangio's going to be thinking, man, we're close. We need to win a couple of games here. Let's go with, Case Keenum and go with the veteran guy. Like, I don't think you can give him an option of someone who on paper or at the whiteboard looks better than Drew Lock.
James, stop.
Don't give him an option.
So at the expense of not having the ability of winning a football game,
you don't
want to have a competent backup quarterback.
Yes, because 2012.
Oh, come on. James, you're doubling down on your double down right now.
No, you're doubling down on the double down.
Why are you doing that?
It's not about going 9-7. It's not about, getting a 7th seed in the playoffs. 2020 is all about finding out if Drew Lock is the answer long term. That's the only thing we have to determine this season. If that winds up being, hey, they have a winning record, they make the playoffs, great. Those are nice bonuses.
Yeah, easy to say until they've won 8 games and you got to win one more to get into the playoffs. But, and what if Drew Lock gets hurt?
It would have been nice, but that's a bonus. Look, they're not a Super Bowl contender either way. If they have Case Keenum or somebody else that people consider a competent backup, that's not going to make them a Super Bowl contender either. You can't give Vic Fangio the option of going to a veteran when things get tight down the stretch. You have to see what Drew Lock can do in those situations. So, to me, Jeff Driskel, perfect option. Because he's the, break glass in case of emergency. That's the only reason you're putting him in.
Well, we're hemming and hawing and talking about it. But I've talked to people behind the scenes, and they said the Broncos actually were into Jeff Driskel the year he came out. Out of college, they were into Jeff Driskel.
We've seen games since then.
Interesting. I'm just telling you the Broncos' perspective. And they've already seen Kyle Sloter, and I think it'd be exciting, and I don't quite get it with Jeff Driskel, but I'm just letting you know the Broncos think highly of this guy. That's it. They're giving him millions of dollars, by the way. He's not on, some vet minimum salary. I mean, it's not some sort of crazy thing, but it's not vet minimum. By the way, James, were you surprised by all the juggalos that came after you about your Derek Wolfe comments?
Not really. And you know, most of them were upset with the Devontae Booker comparison versus the me saying that, Derek Wolfe wasn't a Ring of Famer. And, you know, I've been on several shows since then because this definitely sparked a lot of conversation. And I've admitted it's not my best analogy, but the point was, hey, he's just a guy who was on the roster for a long time. You know, when he was called upon, he was fine. But when he wasn't there, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a huge loss. I don't know that too many people disagreed with that notion.
Yeah, there were quite a few.
It was mostly that people just can't stand Devontae Booker. Like, they forget he was the Broncos' leading rusher one year, and he actually did do some things. So, you know, I think it was more that than people, you know, thinking, hey, no, Derek Wolfe's a surefire Ring of Famer. I did get a few of those people, which it just still makes me, you know, want to bang my head against the wall. But it was, you know, I was trying to answer, and, you know, I was tying back to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago and trying to answer that, hey, just being, you know, on the roster for a long time and being a longtime starter, that doesn't make you one of the all-time greats. It was Devontae Booker the best example of that? Probably not. It was just something we had talked about when I was on in a previous show. So, yeah, I got a lot of pushback. I did not hear from Derek on Twitter, though, which actually surprised me. He's normally first one to chime in on these kind of things, so I was surprised by that.
You might have indirectly.
Ooh, burner?
You might have. Yeah, there was.
What?
Hold on. I gotta look up something here really quick. It'll take me just a second. But there was a tweet put out by somebody that we're not entirely sure who put it out, but it put up all the stats of Von Miller and Derek Wolfe, and it was all of Von Miller's games played with Derek Wolfe, how many sacks he had, yada yada yada.
Wow.
How many games he played without Derek Wolfe, and he had like 5 sacks total, whatever it was. I'm butchering these numbers here, but somebody took the time to put out a very, very interesting graphic like that.
Yeah, and, you know, I got a lot of that of, hey, Derek Wolfe's job was to free up Von Miller. It's like, come on. Like, because that's one of those arguments you can't refute, right? There's no number to argue against it, but, you know, you mentioned how...
True. That is a true statement, though. I mean, the entire being of a 3-4 defensive lineman is to keep people off of the linebackers in the running game and to help out the edge rushers in the passing game.
Last Thursday night, though, after I was on with you guys, I go downstairs, I turn on NFL Network, and it's the Football Life on Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
And Bruce, they're telling stories about how Bruce Smith always complained that, hey, if he didn't have to play in a 3-4... imagine how many sacks he would have had. He's the all-time sack leader with 200 playing in a 3-4, yet Derek Wolfe in a 3-4, his job was just to occupy people. Like, that, it's just, it's balderdash. That's
balderdash!
Yes!
Oh, it's just, but he did so much more than that.
It's what we say for a guy who doesn't put up stats that we like, so we want to try and make him look like he's doing a really good job. It's like, no, if he was a great player like Bruce Smith, granted, I'm picking the top guy of all time, but it didn't matter if he played in a 3-4, 4-3, what he played, where he lined up, he was able to pressure the quarterback. Nobody had to say, well, you know, Bruce plays in a 3-4 and his job is to, you know, free up Daryl Talley. Like, nobody ever made that argument. Or Cornelius Bennett. That would be silly.
What is the definition of a Ring of Famer in your mind?
I think that you have to be somebody who, during your career, at your position, you were considered one of the elite players. And, you know, Von Miller certainly falls into that. Peyton Manning falls into that. Chris Harris Jr. will. You know, I don't think it's a matter of, hey, you had to have a couple of pretty good years, or you were here for 8 years, or you were on, you know, a couple of Super Bowl teams. I mean, Maa Tanavasa, that's who Derek Wolfe is tied with on the all-time sack list for the Broncos, with 33. Tanavasa was here 6 years. Wolfe was here 8. Tanavasa won 2 Super Bowls. Wolfe won 1. They were both good players, part of, you know, great teams. And you know what? Those teams would not have been as good without them, but they're not Ring of Famers. They weren't special. To say they weren't special makes it sound like I'm knocking them, and I don't want it to come across that way. But you have to be the kind of guy that, you know what, in the parking lot at tailgate parties 20 years from now, you're boring the young people with stories about these guys. Nobody's going to be boring anybody with Derek Wolfe stories. You will be with Von Miller stories. To me, that's the difference.
I got a response from Kyle Sloter.
You did? No yeah. way.
But a private one.
Okay.
I can't. I don't. I'm not going to read it on the air.
But, oh, my gosh. Why do you do that? Why do you bring it up then?
All right, let me explain what he sent to me via question, okay? And I think you'll understand where the response to me is going. Do you guys think there is a mindset amongst NFL people in a very small circle that once you get on the wrong side of something, that's where you stay? And it's such a small club that one thought about a player will basically leak towards everybody else and will prevent a player from having the opportunity they may deserve.
Wait, are you asking me if I believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think that certainly can be true. I mean, it's a very small network. Now, if you earn the trust of one coach in the NFL, you're likely to earn the trust of many. But if you get in the doghouse, hey, man, word spreads quick.
Right.
I guess my question would be, well, why were you in the doghouse?
Why is a Cam Newton signed to a team right now, James?
I you know what? I heard Mike Kliss talking about this on the Mile High Memories podcast, and he mentioned it with Tebow and Kaepernick. And I think it applies to Cam Newton. They're too big to be a backup quarterback. Like, they're going to get too much media attention. But people are going to be asking questions. People are going to be saying, hey, you should be the starter. And teams don't want that distraction. So they're kind of in this weird area where, like, they're not good enough to be the surefire starter. And they're too big and too much of a distraction to be a backup. I think Cam Newton falls into that. I think he falls into that same category.
So theoretically, could that happen to players on the other side of things who are on the bubble? And the word just gets out, nah, he's not a guy. Yeah. That guy's not a guy.
The NFL's the ultimate groupthink. Once it becomes, hey, this is what everybody thinks of him, and it's really like three people think that of a guy, then all of a sudden everybody thinks that. They don't want to be the one that says, well, I took a chance on this after three other GMs who know what they're talking about said
guys,
no.
Guys, that's right. Turned into. That's all true, but you know what else is also true? I used to tell young players this all the time. You need three games. If you get three games and you put out good film, you can play in this league for 7 to 10 years. As a backup, that doesn't necessarily mean as a starter, but you only get one crack at it. And if you put bad film out there, you're not going to work. But the one thing I know about the NFL is they are terrified of change. So if you give them something to hold on to, if there's anything for optimism whatsoever, they want the veteran that they've seen something with their own eyes, and they don't want to take a chance on a college player. So the flip side of it is also true. If you do something good in the early goings, you can definitely latch on for a long time.
Yeah, if they're going to kind of take a chance on you and get away from the norm that everybody else does, man, you better be really, really good. You better be really special. So why did Baltimore take a chance on Lamar Jackson? Because that guy, I mean, there's one of him. There's nobody else that can do what he does. They'll take a flyer on someone like that. They're all risking their jobs with every one of these decisions to some extent.
Right.
So you better have the chance to make him look like a genius. Otherwise, it's a heck of a lot safer to just, you know, hug onto the tree trunk and not go out on the limb.
Okay. And I think that's the paranoia Kyle's got going on right now. So we'll just leave it there.
There's nothing. He's fine. He's a fine player. But he's nothing special. So who's gonna roll the dice on it?
Man.
No one.
Man, you are harsh.
Hey, man, I'm actually a little bit surprised he doesn't want to come on air and talk about it. He brought it up today. Nobody was talking about any of this. He brought it up.
I got it. And now he might be feeling a little like, oh boy, maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut. And we're probably not helping his cause by advocating for him with the Broncos. How about that?
What do you mean?
Oh, man.
Stop dancing around it. Tell me.
I don't think guys in the NFL executives want to be proven wrong. And I think the last people NFL executives want to be proven wrong by are media people. I think it kills them when the people in the media get it right and they get it wrong. I think they hate it. And I think they'll go to long, long ways. They'll go a long way to try to not go in that direction. So I think there's a certain amount of pride going on with these dudes. And, boy, they change slowly. It is not quick turns here, man. It is not Top Gun in a F-14. It is a Master and Commander, a large ship with no freaking wind in the sails. It changes slowly, guys.
Well, we saw it in 2011. And not only is it media, but it's also they don't want to be proven wrong by the fans. Like, remember all the shots of John Elway up in the box every time Tebow would lead a comeback? Right. He looked like he was in pain as he was clapping of like, oh, my goodness, the fans are right. The media was right. It wasn't Kyle Orton. We should have gone with this guy. Like, it pained him almost to see Tim Tebow have success late in games.
He was slow clapping those isotoners like nobody's business.
Totally.
Timeline 25. What year are we in, James?
2002. So that was Clinton Portis replaces TD. Really the last of the Avs' great, you know, kind of their great run. They went to six straight Western Conference Finals. They lost in Game 7. Patrick Waugh gave up 7 goals in Detroit. It was a bloodbath. Bradley Van Pelt spiked the ball on CU's head. That was a memorable moment.
Oh, my God. Tyler, were you at that game, Tyler?
Yes, I was at that game, yes.
It pained me to write that today, Tyler. It was hard to do, but it was one of the big stories from that year, without a doubt. But it was kind of a quirky year. But look, Bradley, as a CU guy, I got to give it to Bradley Van Pelt because the way that guy played is it's hard not to respect him. So
he's exactly like Philip Rivers. Like he's a turd, but he's only a turd if he's not on your team. You know,
exactly.
Like if he's on your team,
I'd love him to have been a buff. That would have been great.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with Bradley Van Pelt, Tyler?
Oh, I don't even know him.
Oh, okay. You've never crossed paths. You've never.
No, I don't know him.
Okay. All right. All right.
And it was also the year that Kiki thought he was going to find the next Dirk Nowitzki with Skeetishvili. That was also in 2002. It was not the best year in Colorado sports history. I'll put it that way.
Man, we had Earl Boykins say Skeeter would have like Hall of Fame practices. Earl told us, James, that Skeeter would have practices that he was unstoppable. And then the games would happen.
Well, I didn't know this till I went back and looked at it. Like, before they drafted him, he was 19 years old. He was from the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. He'd played 13 professional games. That was it.
Wow.
And averaged 6.6 points.
Oh, my goodness.
With a career high of 15. And Kiki takes him number 5 overall. Since he left the NBA, he's played for 19 different teams.
Wow.
He's played in Iran and Lebanon and Japan and Greece and Spain and Italy. He's bounced all over the place. So he's had a pretty lengthy career. It just wasn't the NBA career anybody expected.
Do you think that was a result of Tony Kukoc, basically, and everybody was just chasing the next Tony Kukoc?
I think it was Tony, and I think even more so was Dirk. I think everybody thought, hey, let's go get the 7-foot Euro guy who can shoot from the outside. Because the year before they drafted Skeeter, Dirk was an all-star for the first time in his fourth season. And I think everybody thought, hey, you know what? Those guys can come over here and succeed. So Kukoc probably started it. I think Dirk made it to where, hey, we gotta go find one of those guys. And Kiki was enamored with him. He took Skeeter at 5. He traded for Nene from Brazil at 7. Like, and he was going to go Darko the next year if the Pistons hadn't bailed him out. He was all in on the Euros.
All right, Tyler, did James say anything that will make people hate him today? I couldn't quite tell.
I think there was something about Kyle Sloter and Bradley Van Pelt. I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth. Those were his words, not mine, right, D-Mac?
I might have made CSU fans mad.
That's your word, but yeah.
Right.
They're oversensitive. CSU fans are oversensitive. So if I made them mad, that's not
very,
on me.
Very sensitive people.
Wow, there you go. Thank you, James. Appreciate it. We'll read it all on 1043thefan.com.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
See you, bud.
TD on Philip Lindsay. TD on Drew Locke. TD. TD, TD, TD. Next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.